Recordings are now started.
Thank you.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the sub-team for Sunrise Registration on the 21st of April, 2017. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now?
Hi, this is Kathy Kleinen, and right now I'm only on the audio bridge because I'm having some trouble connecting in. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. And Jeremy, Malcolm, I do believe you're on audio as well.
Hi, yes.
Only at this time. Thank you. I would like to remind everyone else to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our chair, Lori Shulman. Please begin.
Thank you so much, and my apologies for the late start, but like Kathy, I had some problems connecting to Adobe today. Nonetheless, I think we should get started and dive right into the work. I do want to let the group know I read over the entire chart, and I do believe we have some conclusions in terms of what questions we might bunch. If we recall from last week, we would do two things. We would decide which bench questions might fall into the same bucket, so to speak, and handle those questions together. We consider whether or not any of the questions could be deleted, and I believe we had one suggestion for deletion. It came from Maxime, I believe. And then we would put notes and footnotes into the questions if we required any sort of clarification or felt like there was something ambiguous about the wording in a question, and that would be more helpful for the work group to have clarifications. We also agreed that we would not actually rewrite questions or suggest edits to questions as much as put comments in about for clarity and consistency's sake. Before I begin, does anybody have any comments they'd like to offer before we start? Amr.
Thanks, Laurie. This is Amr. I also wanted to suggest that as we go through these questions right now, that the sub-team members consider whether they would, as we're going through them and as we're getting work done, whether they would like to whether you would all like to report back to the full working group next Wednesday or perhaps postpone for another week, and whether you want to perhaps, if some of the questions are actually finalized in terms of consolidations or clarifications, if you would want to sort of send the few that are resolved or wait until they're all complete and send them in one batch. So I just thought I'd offer these thoughts now so you keep them in mind as the sub-team is going through the questions today. Thank you.
Hello, Amr, and I'm going to ask you for help in recognizing hands as this intermittent connection that I have has now taken me out of the chat room so I can't see live hands. So if you don't mind helping, I would be so appreciative.
Sure,
I want to start with based on the inputs of the group, it looked like there were three batches of questions that we could consolidate, and they were within the first 15 questions, basically. So there was a suggestion and support for batching questions 2, 3, 15, and possibly 8. There was suggestion and support for batching questions 4, 5, and 6. And there were suggestions and support for combining questions 7 and 9. And I would also like if somebody on the call could explain for me, because I don't recall these two acronyms, and they're important to a lot of the comments, particularly with regard to GEO terms, in terms of what a QLP is and an ALP, please. If nobody knows, then I need to look them up, and we need to refresh the group's memory as a whole. Yes.
Yeah, hi, this is Amr.
Oh, I see. Hi, Amr.
Hi.
I didn't
yeah. Sorry. I just wanted to point out that in the Google Doc, there is a footnote that explains what ALP and QLP are. So ALP is an acronym for Approved Launch Program, for which a registry operator has applied for and been approved by ICANN to offer. QLP is an acronym for Qualified Launch Program, under which a registry operator is able to offer up to 100 names to third parties prior to a sunrise period in order to promote its TLD. So there are footnotes explaining those two acronyms in the Google Doc right now. Thank you.
Okay, I apologize for missing the footnote or the explanation, but thank you for the review. I did see there was a footnote that explains the limited, the LDP, but I didn't notice it for the others, so thank you. So that being said, would this group at least have some consensus on batching questions 2, 3, 15, and possibly 8, batching questions 4, 5, and 6, and batching questions 7 and 9? I mean, if we could agree here, then the batching's completed. And thank you, Christine, in the chat has said because they're launched, it's unwise, which is why they're mentioned here. I appreciate that. Thank you. I am not a registry operator, so some of these terms I'm not as familiar with. Thank you, Maxim. I believe that Maxim had suggested eliminating a question. Maxim, do you want to speak to the question you suggested eliminating, possibly?
If we speak about QLP, in particular, I had a conversation with the chair of GOTLDs. Yeah, they are currently an association, and they work with the RYSG. So basically what they said is that this current implementation of QLP allowed GOTLDs to participate in the program. And the only moment which was an issue for them is that for GEO applicants, they have to obtain a letter of support or letter of non-objection from mayor's office or municipal entity or federal government of that particular area. It depends greatly on the jurisdiction. For example, in some cases, city was the authority, and in some situations, the federal government of that area had authority over city. Yeah, but it's not important here, but still, the issue they had is that the current 100 names limit for them wasn't enough because it was a situation where most cities were capitals, in general with few thousand streets, and the ideas of municipalities and cities were to have street names, important locations of city, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, 100 names wasn't enough. And the restriction that these kind of names should go only to city is in QLP. So basically everything else was fine. And about speaking about ALP, it's still not ready, I'd say, because the only applicant who was brave enough to spend 1 year on just conversations with ICANN about the rules and things like that. It was .Madrid, and they still not launched. So, and according to conversations with GOTLDs, the ALP was a bit of failure because it wasn't possible and to apply for this program and to receive some kind of feedback. And the biggest concern about why going to ALP at all, it was the protection of small, medium businesses and small local trademarks in those cities, basically. And because of that, they had to use resort names to keep the street names and monument names for the available for cities when they have special limited period for them. Thanks.
Yep, got it. Okay, thank you, Maxime. I thought too, Maxime, in the comments that you had added that I had read, there was one particular question that you thought this group should not be looking at, and maybe I didn't understand. I mean, I understood what you said about the inadequacy of the ALP, but I'm now asking a very practical question. You had put in your notes there was one question that you felt like maybe we could just not address at this point. And I just wanted to go back and remind myself or have you remind us which one that was. Okay. Well, we can look through it. It may have been one of the premium names questions. I'm sorry that I can't remember. I didn't write a note about it. I wrote a note about the bunching. I did not write a note with your specific question in mind. Okay. I apologize to the group. I'm finding this, navigating this chart awkward. I can navigate it up and down and side to side, but I can't see it enough to connect the questions with the comments. It's a little frustrating at the moment. All right, I'll go back to my earlier question. Maxim, we'll find it on the list, no worries, because we'll go through the entire chart. I wanted to thank everybody for adding their notes and comments. It was extremely helpful. I noticed I'm going to call out Susan Payne particularly, as I noticed you've definitely put in a lot of notes, as well as Maxim. And I know Kathy had put in some suggestions. And, Kathy, I didn't have time to read your suggestion, as it was put in between last night and this morning when I read the chart. I was wondering if you could share with the group your suggestions.
Hi, Lori. This is Kathy. I'm still on audio only, so I don't have any of this material in front of me, unfortunately. But I believe there were two things that I added. One was a question that had come out of the trademark claims subgroup that specifically says Sunrise, so we can't quite figure out what it's doing under trademark claims. Didn't appear to be in our bailiwick. So, and we did this before when we were doing the trademark charter questions. We found that stuff was kind of in a different place in the charter that really belonged in kind of the big picture charter questions. So I've moved that question over to see if that's appropriate here, and it does seem to be. And the other one was taking a question that had been discussed on the list of Sunrise dispute resolution process or policy, I forget what the P is, and the SCRP was being presented as a solution for something. I don't have all the details, and I apologize, but just bringing that question over, what is the SCRP, what is it used for, does it solve the problem, so that we've captured that working group discussion as well. Thanks, Lori.
Thank you, Kathy. You said S, right, as in Sunrise CRP, as opposed to F.
SDRP, yes.
You said S, yes. Also, Christine had some comments regarding the SDRP as well, whether or not it should be looked at in general because it doesn't seem to have been used. So that might be relevant to your suggestion, Kathy. And like Kathy, I'm disconnected again from Adobe. I don't have the live chart again. So, again, I'm challenged with moderating, and I do give the group my apologies. But that being said, I want to go back to...
Lori, this is Amr.
Yeah,
since you're not in Adobe Connect, I just wanted to point out that Christine Dorain has her hand up.
Okay, Christine, yes.
Hi. Thanks. Christine Dorain, Amazon Registry. I do want to sort of answer Kathy's question. So we were talking, I think, in the main working group about the Sunrise disputes and how at the trademark clearinghouse level, if someone wants to contend that a mark has been entered improperly, there's no way in creation that the that there's any way that anybody could have a trademark in this. So you know, I got a claim to this. I think it's bad. You can object with the trademark clearinghouse and complain that their work was improper and correctly. And that's one variation of a sunrise dispute policy. That's one variation of it. And then the other thing is if the criteria are somehow misused in order to get a domain name registered during sunrise.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Christine. Is anybody else having trouble hearing Christine? I'm having trouble with the words that you're saying. So I apologize.
Okay. Am I breaking up or am I quiet?
No, you seem like you're breaking up, Christine. There's like a slight echo. It's like you're muffled.
Okay. Is that any better?
Slightly clearer. Yes.
Please try this here. Sorry, I may have to switch. I'm using a new headset, and I might have to switch and find out if I can dial in. Any better? No? No better?
That is a little better, definitely.
Okay, give me 30 seconds to dial back in.
Great. Lori, while can I interrupt for a point of procedure while we're waiting for Christine?
Sure. Absolutely.
Sometimes when I'm chairing, I just wanted to share my tip. I actually get the link directly to the document, and I'm monitoring the document, and then I ask staff to let me know if their hands are raised, because it's often the only way I can see the whole document.
I really appreciate that, Kathy. I haven't had to manipulate large documents like this before. I appreciate any help you can provide. And I have two Wi-Fi connections right now, and they're fighting with each other. We have a local Wi-Fi that I'm connected to. It kicked me out when I started my Mi-Fi, and my Mi-Fi kicked me out. Now they're fighting. It's crazy. And I, again, apologize.
Well,
Adobe
Connect just doesn't like me today.
Yeah, no, I got the Mi-Fi as a backup to make sure I would always be connected. And now, for some reason, they fight with each other.
Hey, everyone. I'm back. I'm sorry. May I still speak?
Oh my God. Christine is 1,000% better. Thank you so
good.
Much.
Yes, of course. Well, I was using just my – I was connecting through Adobe before. Now I just dialed in regular old-fashioned on a phone, so –
Yeah, and Adobe just kicked me out, so I'm following the document that Amma sent last night.
Oh, okay, fantastic. And hopefully we didn't lose everybody else in the same process, I guess. That would be awful. Christine from Amazon, I was going to just sort of update the Sunrise thing. So what happened is when the STI, or the IRT and the STI came up with their sort of tapestry of rights or things that they should do to protect the system, one of the things they had this idea of is improperly registering domain names based on trademarks in Sunrise. And so every registry has to have what's called a Sunrise dispute policy. However, in what eventually became the final iteration of the Trademark Clearinghouse, there's very little discretion that a registry operator has registering a Sunrise name. I mean, if there's an SMD file, then the registrant typically gets the name, barring any other eligibility requirements. So there's this thing called Sunrise Dispute Policy that every registrar has to create that's kind of useless. I'm looking at the criteria. The complainant has to prove that the registrant did not hold a trademark registration of national effect. Well, that should have been done back at the Trademark Clearinghouse. The domain name is not identical to the mark on which the registrant based its Sunrise registration. Again, that should have been done. I mean, that gets done when the SMD file gets checked. The trademark registration on which the registrant based at Sunrise is not of national effect or has not been court validated. And the trademark registration on which the domain name registrant based at Sunrise registration did not issue on or before the date specified by the registry and its Sunrise criteria, if one was specified. That's about the only one where the registry has some discretion to say, you have to have had a trademark that issued before such a date. But to my knowledge, even that's sort of a a criteria that's not no longer in effect. I don't think anybody's using that. So there's this fiction that registries have to have this quote-unquote Sunrise dispute policy to complain about, you know, Sunrise registrations that shouldn't have happened. But ultimately, all of the bases on which you can use the Sunrise dispute policy go against the Trademark Clearinghouse, not against the registry operators' practices or decisions. So I think as we're talking about the SDRP, we have to differentiate between the Sunrise dispute process or the Trademark Clearinghouse dispute process that the clearinghouse has, and then the Sunrise dispute policy that the registry operators are required to have, and take a look at the overlap, because when I came from the forum, and we offered a Sunrise dispute policy because you have to have it, but it's kind of a fiction, quite frankly. So that's a lot of words, and I apologize for taking so much time.
No, and I thank you for that, Christine. Does anyone else? I'm on the phone and I'm looking at a chart locally because the Adobe is not working for me today. So is there anybody else who has their hands up in the queue before I respond to Christine?
No, Lori. Susan Payne just put her hand up. So.
Right. And if I could speak after you do, Lori, that would be great. This is Kathy.
Okay. So I'll call on Susan, then I'll respond to Christine, and then I'll – actually, I'm going to defer to Kathy, and then I'll speak. So the order will be Susan, Kathy, then me.
Hi there, it's Susan. Hopefully you can hear me, and it's quite clear. I'm not disagreeing with what Christine was saying. I just wanted to, I suppose, add some additional gloss to it, which is that the requirements for the Sunrise dispute resolution procedure are minimum requirements, if you like, from a registry, and so there are four criteria that all registries are supposed to have implemented, and Christine ran through them. But that isn't to say that registries haven't chosen to adopt additional criteria or additional grounds for their SDRPs. So I happen to be looking at the affiliates one this week, and for example, they've got an additional ground that there was a registry process error that occurred, so that they made an incorrect Sunrise registration. And they have another one, but I now can't remember which one is the one that's an additional one adopted by them off the top of my head. But all I really was wanting to say was I'm not disagreeing with what Christine was saying, but some registries, and I think a number of them have chosen to adopt additional grounds for their DRP.
Okay. Susan, can I follow up with a question before we go to Kathy? So would you then, of course, agree that this should be looked at as whether or not this is something meaningful or useful moving forward? I mean, these registries have picked up these new policies. They're not required policies. They're voluntary policies, correct?
Yeah. Yes. If they've chosen to go further, then it's voluntary. But I think the fact that there is a requirement to have some minimum standards does perhaps provide a focus for registries to consider whether they want to offer additional grounds. But I think if the question is do we think we should be considering the SDRP in the course of our work, then I think the answer would be yes.
Okay. Thank you, Susan. Kathy.
I guess I'll agree with Susan. I was going to say some other things, but if the SDRP is mandatory at some level, then that's the part that we should be looking at as part of the rights protection mechanism, maybe not the voluntary mechanisms, but the required ones. The other is, now that we're looking at statute or treaty marks, we may find that marks being challenged under the SDRP are not nationally registered marks or court-validated marks. So the scope of the SDRP may have just expanded. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Okay. So
this is Christine. I'm really sorry. I know that I'm sorry. I know that there's a bunch of people on audio or whose chat isn't working right, so I just thought I'd jump in here. I wanted to read into the record just a couple things I put in the chat that I totally agree with Susan. It isn't that I think there's a problem with SDRP. I think it's a good idea, that especially where a registry operator has additional terms, and I know we're not talking about substance. I want to make it really clear as to what my suggestion is and my recommendation is. There is a serious overlap between the Trademark Clearinghouse dispute policy and what the minimum SDRP that registry operators are required to implement, and to the point where registry operators, the minimum, as established in the guidebook, are basically things that only the clearinghouse can look at. So that's my suggestion. When we, I'm tailoring my question.
Okay.
So when we draft a question and say this is what we think we should discuss, my proposal is that we talk about that serious overlap between the two types of dispute policies and make sure that we are, in fact, getting everything we want in there, and not requiring registries to have kind of a fictional dispute resolution policy to deal with registrations that are in the clearinghouse, because a registry operator has no control over the marks that get put into the clearinghouse. So hopefully that clarified a little bit. Sorry about that.
Okay, Christy, for me it did, and I appreciate that, that the question is about the overlap, not the effectiveness of the DRP itself. Correct? Am I restating that correctly?
Yes, that's correct, and it's in the chat as well.
Okay.
Hopefully I've clarified things.
Okay. All right, thank you. And again, I apologize because I'm not in the chat because my laptop won't let me be. And so, anyway, so we had Susan speak, Christine speak, Kathy speak. Is anyone else in the queue right now?
The queue's clear for now, Lori.
Okay. So, Amar, I think that that's very important to capture that particular note. I know it's in the chart, but wherever it is in the chart, to clarify it if it's not as clear as Christine had just stated it. I want to roll back to my question about eliminating questions. So we have the suggestions about the three batched questions, and I have located the two questions where there were suggestions about possible elimination, and to see if we can get some agreement with this group of are these questions that we can or should eliminate, and if we recommend elimination, if the reasoning is valid. The first was question 10 about the SMD files. How often are SMD files compromised and have to be revoked? How prevalent is this as a problem? And there were notes in the sidebar put together by staff and Susan Payne, and I will read it aloud for people who are on the phone. Deloitte's input that there are numerous reasons why an SMD file is revoked. An SMD file, as requested by the community, contains the trademark information and the contact information. This entails that each change revokes the current SMD file and a new SMD file is generated. In addition, a user can opt out of the Sunrise services at any time, which revokes the current SMD file, as well as the fact that the information of the trademark record is no longer accurate. Consequently, and this is Deloitte, we do not keep track of the reasons why an SMD file is revoked, as this is technically linked to the different stages and interactions with the TMCH. Susan Payne put in the comment in the column that she could consider this to be a question for deliberations on the TMCH, albeit that Deloitte appears to have answered the question. I would agree with Susan. I don't think a question about SMD files in our particular scope of discussion is particularly useful. And so I would support Susan's recommendation that perhaps we suggest to eliminate question 10. And I was wondering if anybody else has thoughts on this. Are there any hands in the chat? Yes. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I have questions about the SMD file because it's part of the implementation of this entire process. And the idea that pieces of information come outside the database and how those are being used. I could understand that this is going to be intuitively obvious to the people who use it every day, but maybe not to the other 150 people in the working group. And so I think there are good reasons to look at the SMD file as part of kind of the overall rights protection mechanism implementation process. And I do think questions are going to arise from it as we go forward that we kind of need it. It's kind of a cog in the technical implementation process that will help us understand how the rights are being used. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. I understand that, but it seems to me this is a TNCH question, not a Sunrise question. I guess I'm having trouble understanding. I mean, the SMD files are at the first stage when you get the validation from the TNCH. You have your SMD file. And Deloitte's saying here, okay, here's where there's possibilities where changes occur. We make changes, but we don't really track the reasons. Because we don't necessarily see a reason to track it. It's just a question of keeping an updated, validated file, which is why I tend to agree with Susan's point on this. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad question. I just don't think it's relevant to Sunrise, per se. Because
what?
I don't think anything's going outside of that file. When you say outside the file, I don't know what that means, because you either have a validated file or you don't.
See,
so
what this implies is that you and Christine know a lot more about how the SMD file is used in Sunrise than I do, and then probably many others in the working group do. And so maybe it should be a more general question, but the fact is we've already done kind of the big picture trademark charter question, so we can't kind of throw it back there. So if it's in the wrong place but it's a valid question, then this may be the place, but is SMD files, that's not something that goes to trademark claims. I think it's used in Sunrise. Do we want to rewrite it to be a more general question to provide the data that the working group might need on the creation and use of the SMD file in Sunrise, and then maybe note that this further question in the charter was asked, but that we don't think this kind of detail is required by the working group? Does that make any sense?
Okay. And honestly, I'm a little confused because when you submit your claim as a trademark owner to the clearinghouse, as the clearinghouse goes ahead and everything's good, everything's been validated, then you get your SMD file, and then you use that to communicate with the different registrars as to how your claims are going to work. And Christine, correct me if I'm oversimplifying or undersimplifying, or Susan, this process. So to me, this is a front-end process in the TMCH, to the effect that you're sending a validated SMD file to a registry. I don't know what necessarily the issue is, because I don't think you can send a file that isn't otherwise a validated file. So that's why I'm confused about your question about outside or things being sent that shouldn't be sent. That's what's confusing me.
Hi, Lori. This is Christine. Can I jump in?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see the chat or not.
Sure.
Or the hands. Yeah, this is Christine from Amazon, and maybe Susan can weigh in too as a registrar, so you get, you know, a couple different perspectives. I think to make it more basic, the question is about the SMD file is really specific about the revocation of the SMD file. I think the answer is pretty clear, twofold. A, it's really not a problem, and B, it doesn't really belong in Sunrise. I think we've agreed on that. But to Kathy's point, though, what I've heard Kathy say is, she doesn't really understand how the SMD file works, and that might be – she's probably not the only one. I think when we say somebody in the group raises their hand and says, I don't understand X or Y, we can probably assume other people don't. She's right. You have an understanding. I have an understanding. We've come at it from our two sides of the elephant. I think that maybe provides, as Mary suggested in the chat, an education opportunity for the working group as we dig in, not for our sub-team, of course, but for all of the working group to hear this is what an SMD file is and does. We can choose to educate ourselves. Maybe there can be a short presentation. I don't know that I think the question being, you know, what are the problems with revocation is a very specific question. I don't think that that's going to be something that we're going to end up digging into for multiple reasons, including Deloitte's reasons. But the SMD file, as you pointed out, Lori, is going to come up multiple contexts. So if people don't understand what its purpose is and how it gets there, I mean, we're going to have a lot of really basic questions. So I think my proposal is that we spend some time in the working group. So as we put our work plan together, we say initial day, right, first day of discussing Sunrise. Let's get some definitions out of the way. This is what an SMD file is and does. And we can make a list. Maybe there's other things people don't understand about the whole Sunrise process. Make that list. Get it out in the open so that everybody can work from the same lexicon. Is that a reasonable suggestion, do you think? And, Kathy, did that? I'm trying to sort of listen from a third party and really hear the interest.
Great. I've got my hand up.
Okay, Kathy. All right, so Kathy, go ahead, and I have a response. Because, I mean, that goes to my own question. I couldn't remember what ALP and QLP were. I just didn't remember. I even skipped it in our own footnotes here. So, and I'm not a neophyte, neither is Kathy. So, yes, I agree. I think there's probably a lot of terms that even old hands may not necessarily understand or remember because they don't use them every day. So go ahead, Kathy.
Great. First, I agree with Christine completely. That kind of tutorial or experts presenting to non-experts on the SMD file, I think would be great. It will mean that if we get to some kinds of questions later on, we've kind of filled in that gap on knowledge so that everyone's in the same place and can kind of look at the question. The other question, but that also means, so first, thank you so much for that. That will be great, and I think a lot of people will learn a lot. But in terms of a question in the table, let me ask. I think, and I've been trying to puzzle what that question might mean about the cancellation and not having the words in front of me. But let's say someone does get an SMD file, and let's say they are no longer verified in the TMCH database. Not verified, I'm using the wrong words. Let's say during the re-verification that takes place annually by the TMCH, they choose not to re-up. Let's be simple. They just choose not to pay, and they're no longer in the TMCH, yet they have an SMD file. What stops them from using that in another Sunrise? And
I think it's no longer valid, Kathy. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It gets shut off.
Why wouldn't it work? Here's my lack of understanding. Why? It's not like the TM claims it's checking a file.
No, it's a token. An SMD file is just a token. It's a 100 and something string token that says, yep, as long as you've paid your fee, as long as your mark is valid, this token, 100 and whatever, will work to register this domain name during Sunrise. Granted, a Sunrise period is usually only 60 or 90 days. So, I mean, the stars have to align for you to have a valid SMD file during a Sunrise period that where you actually don't have an underlying trademark. Like, the stars would really have to align for that to happen. But the token basically doesn't work anymore. It's like a key, like your hotel room key. After you check out, I assume it doesn't work again. I assume. My God, I hope so.
Yeah, but if it's a standalone file, is it a key?
Yeah, it's a key. It's a code that gets checked every time by the registry operator. So when you go to register a domain name and you bring that key to the registry operator, they ping the clearinghouse and say, is this key valid? Does this key work in the lock? And the clearinghouse comes back and says, yep, it's all good. And then the next time, if you haven't paid your fee, if your mark's no longer been validated this year, you go and you provide that key, and the clearinghouse comes back and says, yeah, no, sorry, doesn't work. Doesn't work in the lock anymore. You've checked out.
How do you feel about modifying the question to just ask that? To confirm what you've just said. Thanks. I'll wait for Lori.
Oh, yeah. Kathy, what I was going to say is if that's what you think the question ought to be, would you mind just drafting it and sending it to me? I can even put it in a chart. To your point, I think if the question is, are we sure that SMD files time out, or can we confirm that SMD files time out, when an invalidation is no longer valid, when it's invalid, I think that's the question.
I think that's exactly
right. Lori, this is...
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just wanted to point out that Susan Payne has her hand up in the Adobe Connect room.
Okay, and I'll call... But I still think that that's a technical, operational question that isn't part of Sunrise. But I'm not going to be a stickler on that point. If that's a question that people think is very important and it should be in the Sunrise column, I'm not going to argue that one. And Susan, go ahead.
Hi, thanks, Laurie. I think I was probably really just putting my hand up and about to say what you did, and indeed Christine's put something in the chat that, you know, kind of, isn't this something that gets answered in the tutorial and or in the documents that Mary referred to earlier in the chat, where she said that there was some information about how SMD files are created and used that they can circulate around. So perhaps we need to all take a piece of homework to read of those, and then if we still think that there's a question we need to ask, we can ask it. But it seems like, honestly, I'm the least technical person in the world, but it seems to me like I don't have any questions I need to ask on this that relate to the Sunrise, if you know what I mean. I'm not trying to argue to take something out that should readily be in here, but maybe we should all take a piece of homework first and then consider whether a tutorial would deal with the issue or whether there really is a genuine question we need to be considering in the course of our review. But I'm not, you know, I've never heard of an issue having come up where people were using invalid SMD files. I don't, you know, I don't think it works that way.
Thank you, Susan. I don't either. I mean, I just remember from my own practice when we were getting these files and keys that didn't seem to be an issue at the time, but I'm a few years away from practice, so I don't know. Okay, I want to ask one more practical question, and then we'll have about 10 minutes left as we could figure out what next steps should be. It was question 14, Maxime. The two questions that were suggested that might be eliminated were this one, 10, and then question 14. And this is the question, is there any evidence of gaming, of registering a number of valuable trademark names under the Sunrise period of marks to which they do not have a traditional legal claim? And then on the side column, the answers were, this topic is being actively debated on the work group mailing list. Michael Milsa, I believe, and Maxine. Michael has said, this question and whether or not certain data in the TMCH should be requested is being debated, and I think this is a candidate for deletion. And then Maxime seemed to agree as well. He said, we have examples of the generic term we in Russian to be gained by a small drill selling company to claim all such domains across TLDs, allowing Russian Cyrillic symbols. So actually the suggestion to leave did not come from Maxime. It came from Michael, and I apologize. I mixed up my M name. But is this something... because it is being now actively debated on the list, do we want to leave it in the Sunrise? Do you want to leave it in the Sunrise camp, so to speak? Or do we want to remove it, given that it's gotten so much traction on the list to date? Does anybody have their hands raised, Amar?
Yes, sorry, Laurie. Yes, Susan does, and then Christine,
yes.
And now Kathy is also in the queue.
All right, so we'll go in that order. Susan, Christine, and Kathy.
Thank you. Hi, it's Susan. Thank you. Yeah, really quickly. I'm also removing questions if we can. I don't think we could delete this one. I think perhaps what we could do is make a note that says there is currently, you know, because we're doing it at this today's date, you know, there's currently active engagement on this in the wider working group, and you know we should ensure that we have a mind to that and not, you know, re-argue the same conversation, but you know, I think we need to just be sure that we don't take something out and then discover that the wider conversation is saying, oh, this is a question for the Sunrise to consider. So I'd love to take it out, don't get me wrong, but I think we need to kind of have it kind of parked, if you like. Maybe there's a color coding
okay.
We could use for parking.
Okay, or a yield sign, something like that. Proceed with caution. All right, I think the next one was Christine.
I dropped my hand because I agree completely with Susan. I think we park it, and then when we get there, if it's already been done, we simply say asked and answered and move on.
Okay. And then...
And Lori, I'm in the chat room as well saying plus one to Susan. So all the hands went down.
Okay. So then it looks like we have an agreement that we're going to look at Q10 again and see if rephrasing might... or at least making a note that this should be an issue for an educational topic rather than an actual work group question, and then to part 214. Is that correct? Okay. So, Amr, at least in terms of completed deliverables, I would say that we have our bunching, as we put in the notes earlier today, where we bunched 9 questions we were able to bunch into three groups. We agreed about question 10, and we have an agreement about question 14 and that we're parking it. So that piece we can report to the group, to the wider group. Then the next question I wanted to ask the group from just a how to get the work done question. There are a lot of these comments in the chat, and I mean not in the chat, in the last column of the chart that the staff nicely put together. What I might recommend is that in the initial comments boxes, wherever we've had agreement on the bunching, that we remove those comments about the bunching and put them up top somewhere, put our conclusions about Q10 and Q14 in to what we've agreed today. And then for the rest of the notes, do we think that these are the notes that should become the footnotes? You know, we agreed that we weren't going to change any questions, but that where we had comments, we would then insert them more or less as footnotes or leave them here in the comments as questions to report back to the group. And so that's my first question. And my second question would be, does anybody, particularly those who've put comments, and I'm assuming everybody's read this last column or will read this last column, is there anything screaming at you that you want to talk about right now, today, in these last few minutes? Does anybody have hands up, Amr?
Laurie, nobody has their hands up, but Kathy did type in a question in the chat concerning question 14, which is the decision to sort of park it or defer it. She wants clarification on that.
Sure. So the idea was, Kathy, the way I understood our discussion to be right now is because this is getting so much traction on the list, there may be some resolution on the list that occurs. If that happens, then it's possible that this question 14 has been asked and answered. If the debate is ongoing and we haven't reached any conclusions from what's happening on the list, then we would go ahead and reopen the debate. That's how I understood what park means, that we wait to see, you know, sort of what boils up in the list.
Kathy has her hand up now, Laurie. Yeah, Kathy
does.
Kathy,
yeah. Okay, Kathy, go ahead.
Okay, I apologize. I thought where we were going was we'd just leave it in because clearly it's created a lot of discussion, and leaving it in as a question will make sure that it has, that the results or the conclusions have a place to go, because if it's not in the list of questions, it's going to be hard to have a place for the resolution, the discussion, the resolution to go. So I think we should leave it. The other thing I was going to say is I thought I'm giving you a rephrasing of question 10, going back
sure.
to question 10. So anyway, thanks.
Sure. Okay, that's fine. I mean, to me, park means it's sitting here, but we're not actively going to answer it because of what's going on the list. Or am I misinterpreting what, you know, Susan and Christine had both made the suggestion that there's so much activity on this topic on the list already. We certainly wouldn't want to reopen it if it resolves, but we don't want to remove the question because it's a good question.
Yeah, Laurie, this is Christine. Can
yes,
I jump
Laurie.
In?
And, yeah.
And in the chat, mentioned yeah, in the chat I just mentioned that what parking means is that we leave it in, but we don't build in a lot of discussion time when we come up with our mini work plan because we believe it will have already been resolved by the time we get there.
Okay.
Excuse me. So that's where I'm thinking about it because, yeah, it needs a place to go. We need to have an answer for it. I mean, there's no way we can say, oh, we're not going to answer this charter question. We're going to answer it. You know, when in our initial report, it's got to be something in the box. But we probably will have already gotten there by then, so I don't think we need to say let's devote 3 meetings to talking about question 14 because we've, you know, probably already got there. If that's clear, then I think that that's my proposal.
All right, that sounds fair enough, and I do believe that's what Susan also supported. Is there anybody else who has any comments? We have 5 minutes left. So I'm going to ask Amr. So we have the conclusions about bunching. We have these conclusions more or less about what we think we're going to do with questions 10 and 14. Where do you recommend we go next with this project, with this task?
Thanks, Lori. This is Amr. I guess the question is to the sub-team whether you feel you need more time to solicit further input on the Google Doc, or whether you think you're good to go and you'd like to report back to the full working group on the progress. And in terms of sort of consolidating questions, adding the footnotes, I think the sub-team's already made significant progress. Do you all feel that you would like more time to continue to work on this, what do you feel would be the best next steps in terms of either concluding the work of this sub-team or continuing to work on the questions?
Does anybody else have their hand raised?
Yeah, this
yeah,
is Christine.
Sorry,
I do.
Yeah,
thanks. I thought that our next step, this was why I think we got into the parking lot discussion, isn't our next step to take a look at the schedule and compare that to how we've bundled the questions and try to predict, you know, kind of in what order we're going to get to the questions and you know, so that we can make a proposal to the working group. We should do questions, I don't know, 14 first. We should do the bundle 2, 3, 15 first. I don't know. It seems like I think that was the last missing piece that we were supposed to do as part of this sub-team. Am I mistaken there?
Yeah, Christine, yeah, there is, and I apologize if I created confusion. Yes, the last step is to align whatever conclusions we've come to with regard to the questions themselves and align them to the general work plan. That is true. I guess what I meant from this question is, do we think that there's any more tweaking, any more, to Amr's point, do we need more time to add more comments, or do we think the questions with the notes as we have them are good enough to go that we can start aligning it to the work plan? My own thought about it is maybe we give people until Tuesday, next Tuesday, to add anything additional. If we could redline the additions for our next call, and then we could start aligning it to the work plan. That's what I would suggest. I think after having these discussions and thinking about, you know, how would we rewrite 10, you know, making notes about parking 14, it wouldn't be the worst idea to give people a few more days if they think it would be helpful or if any of these discussions have made you rethink something. It would also give people who are not on the call today a couple more days to also weigh in, based on updates that I assume the staff will be doing based on this discussion. Does that sound like a good work plan for people? And I can't see the chat, so I don't know what people are saying. So if Amr, you could interpret.
Hello, yeah, sorry, this is Amr. Okay. I got dropped off the call and was switching to the Adobe Connect room.
Okay, everybody's got technical issues.
No, there are no, sorry. Yeah, no one in the queue, just Martin putting a green check mark to agree with your suggestion.
Okay, so does anybody disagree with my suggestion? That would be a better way of doing it. If there's anyone who disagrees, do one of those little red thingies, and then Amr can tell me if there's any red thingies there. Any red? Any disagreement? Okay. Well, then that sounds like it'll be our plan.
Well, then that sounds like it'll be
Hello?
Yeah,
hello?
Go ahead, Lori.
Can people hear me? Okay, so that will be our plan. Our plan is we'll keep this document open until next Tuesday. I can certainly give a brief report to the full group on Wednesday about where we gotten to. Then next Friday, we go over anything that's been added since today and Tuesday, and then we'll start aligning it to the work plan. And that should hopefully be our last call or second to last call. Does that make sense? Okay, seeing as it's 5 o'clock and I hear no objections, let's agree that this will be our go forward. And that way it will give people time who weren't on the call to add a little more to the list, or people who are on the call if they want to rethink anything they've added. All right, and I wish everybody a really good weekend.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you. You can stop the recording now.
Thank you. Simon, the operator, if you could please stop the recording. To everyone else, please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.